Okay, it's Wednesday, and we have... Normally, we have Bex in the hot seat, but unfortunately, she's not well at the moment, so we wish her a speedy recovery. She's not been well for a while, but hopefully, fingers crossed, she will be back in the next couple of weeks. So I've been joined by Brandon Langdon. Now, Brandon is from Brading.
The tiny town.
The tiny town of Brading. And you are on the 4Ps course at the moment.
Yeah.
And you're 18 years old?
Mm-hmm.
When are you 19?
I'm 19 in June.
19 in June, so, but you are old enough to vote at next year's general election.
Yeah, the big old vote.
You sound a bit like, oh, God, blimey, really.
Well, I don't know. I'm happy that I'm given the opportunity to vote. You know, I'm glad that I'm at the age now that I can vote. It's just, they're all the same, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, they all have different kind of ways of doing things, you know, have different ideas of how they should do this, how they should do that, you know. But I'm just really confused, you know. Who should I trust? Who should I stay with? You know, I'm not a politician. I'm not a political person. My family ain't a political group. You know, we just sit there and, oh, look, they've been elected. I wonder what they do. Probably nothing. No, just...
Are you happy to sit back and let everybody decide what happens to you and your family? And
it's not my world, is it? It's our world. You know, if you want to put into it, then you know you want to put them as leaders. You want to make them have power. Then go ahead. But you know, just like us all in medieval times, whoever's the king, they're the king. It's just, you know, whatever. We'll go with it. We're the people. We're the common folk. You know.
Do you know, there is an element of, you know, I can't disagree with anything you've said.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, there isn't.
It doesn't matter if you vote. Well, if you didn't vote and I didn't vote, whoever got put in charge, someone else has voted for them. Fair play to them. That's their vote. They know who they want. We still live our lives. There's no difference. The only difference we might get is prices might be a little bit different, or, you know, things might be run a little bit more different, or, you know, you might have to sign a couple more pieces of paper per day, you know. There's no major difference, you know. We're not going to have to completely move country. You're not going to have to accept more of this and accept more of that. You know, just a few things change here and there.
So nothing really bothers you enough to think, right, I must vote. Obviously, you know, this is the way that you're feeling now. Here we are. It's November 2014. It's not a recorded show. It's not an old repeat. And we have an election in May next year. You're 18 years old. You have you can vote. You have the vote. And, you know, between now and then, you might get into it a little bit more, or a little bit more interesting. Yeah. And you think, right, okay, my vote can make a difference. That's how... you maybe should be thinking.
Yeah, well, when it comes more closer to the time, I'll learn a bit more about it. You know, I might even decide to go and vote. You know, it's just the major thing I am hearing at the moment, and it's been going on for a year or two now, is UKIP. Now, they're the biggest name that I've heard, or the biggest party that I've heard. You know, I've heard some of their views, I've heard some of the banter, you could say, of, you know, lies, the spreading and all that stuff. You know, you hear the random thing, you know, oh, that they said they don't like this and they don't like that. Are they going to change it? They're going to do this. You just hear it and you're kind of like, maybe. We'll see. If they get in power, then we'll see.
Okay.
So, but they do sound like they've got something planned, but I don't know. If we go for Conservative Party or Labour Party, they sound the same.
when you have a look at your own little world, okay, you know, on the Isle of Wight, what are the plus points? What are the negatives? What are the things that you would like to change?
I'd say a big thing would be tourism. Obviously, that's a big thing, isn't it, for the island. Every summer or every spring, there's loads of people that come down. It's all about making money. All the businesses start up, they employ people, all that. I would like to see that a bit more kind of all year, if you know what I'm saying. So during the winter, they have something set up, or there's something that the island does, you know, like something that can bring loads of people together or something, you know. It's only Bestival and Festival, really. It's kind of like the big name for the Isle of Wight.
Do you know what? It's quite refreshing to hear an 18-year-old talk the way that you're talking, because to me that makes common sense to have something all year round.
Yeah,
I mean, what tends to happen is at the moment we've got your summer months with lots of fantastic things, and these are worldwide things. You know, we're talking Bestival, Festival, as you've mentioned, the Cows Week thing. We've got, you know, and there's so many other things. The Walking Festival that we do, Walk the white. People come from all over the world to walk the white. It's such a big thing. But sadly, these things are only going on during these course of these few months.
Yeah.
And somebody said a long time ago, if we had something, an all-weather place where you could go all year round, whether it's a water flume park or somewhere like that, it would be absolutely amazing during the winter months.
To have something to do.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So for someone so young to be able to, you know, to say that is, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, the powers that be may be listening. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian. It's Keith. How are you? All right?
I'm all right, Keith. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you. Didn't you used to have that over there with the white air? Do you remember white air?
Was that the used to have it at Sandown?
That's it, mate. Yeah, it was like some sort of outdoor sports festival, wasn't it?
And it was held in about October time.
That's
and
right.
Somebody said, "Oh, we don't like this. We don't like this. It's got to go."
You're joking.
Yeah.
What was that then?
I don't know. It all came down to finances. It all came down to, not on my beach.
I remember that a lot of it was done through sponsorship. I think, like, a lot of the ramps and whatnot were built by, can't think of the builders merchants out there. Now you've got Morris.
Right.
That's it. You know, a lot of it was the sponsorship. Obviously, they donated the scaffolding and whatnot, so obviously that was covered, that side of it, so to speak.
You just imagine, though, if you had somewhere on the island place like Black Gang Chine or Robin Hill or a water flume park or all three kind of things like that under a roof.
There's a place I went to on holiday last year with my dad and that, and we went to a place called Butlins. Now, that is a place, if that was on the island somewhere, you know, it could be in the middle of nowhere, to be honest.
Right.
That would bring tourists.
All year round.
All year round. Money. It has a roof. It has a water park. It has entertainment. It has everything, you know.
Wasn't that, sorry to butt in there, but wasn't that put forward, something like that, over on the old,
Allerfield Way, yeah.
And it got refused again, didn't it?
I think it got refused because of the number of chalets or houses they were going to build.
Oh, right.
I think.
You couldn't have nothing as big as, like your friend says there about Butlins. Obviously, they're a big concern, you know, and
The thing is, it'll bring money, it'll have a place for people to go, it'll bring up jobs, because I know
exactly.
I know a lot of people who have got lifeguard degrees at my age, you know.
Like you say, you know, your age, you know, you've got to get out and look for something.
Yeah.
Because there's no future for you on the dole, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with Butlins as well, they don't just do, you know, lifeguarding, security, there's actors, there's,
that's right.
You know, there's...
Entertainers, yeah.
Everything. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So much to do.
And as long, you know, cleaners, I know everybody looks down on cleaners, but, you know, as long as there's people around, they need cleaners.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, a lot of janitors. People say, you're a cleaner, you know, that sort of thing. But you could, janitors, but like I said to Ian there, you know, I don't understand the people moan about there's nothing there. Yet when they get the opportunity to put something there, they say no, they want it.
Yeah.
Well, the rumours are, Keith, the reason why that is because there's a board of people that already own certain things on the Isle of Wight
and they make enough money as it is for themselves.
Well, they don't want anybody else coming in and muscling in and doing something. I mean, you look at this is common sense. The issues that we have are we have this beautiful island and we have beautiful weather for X amount of months of the year, and then come November time, it's, what do they call them? I think Phil would back me up on this. It's the tinsel.
Tinsel and turkey.
Tinsel and the turkey peeps that come down.
That's
they're
right.
Of a certain age, you know, old age pensioners and stuff, which is lovely.
And
you know, they're more than welcome.
In a big coach, looking at the scenery.
But if you had something for the youngsters, just say, for instance, we've just had half term. So many people have a whole week and up and down the country, and wouldn't that be great if they came to the Isle of Wight during half term because there was something for them actually to do?
Yeah.
Well, I noticed that on the entertainment side, you've got like Shanklin Theatre, they're doing well now, and also Medina Theatre, because I think they had Limehouse Lizzie there a few weeks back. Yes, I think it was Halloween, actually, last week.
I think the theatres, especially Shanklin, I think are doing fantastic things at the moment. I really do. All credit to them. They're all volunteers, and they do incredibly well. We went down to see someone down there the other week, Al Murray, and he was fabulous. The place was packed solid.
Oh, yeah,
they are being supported, but the trouble is, you know, you just hit on something. You're just going
to
sneeze.
I was about to. I held it back then.
I mean, the fact that we haven't got an all-weather place, not that I'm aware of.
And
if we did have, you just imagine the things we could do with it. And let's be honest.
Well, if you had it, Ian, where would you put it?
Well, I was just coming to that.
Near Brading. Over the Downs.
Where you live.
Natural beauty.
Yeah, it's all that.
Wouldn't it be fabulous if, just say, for instance, where they have the Isle of Wight Festival, they said to John Giddings, hey, look, John, because you do fantastic work, I know there's a few people that moan and groan about you, but stuff them.
Yeah.
If you had some kind of hard standing with a, you know, some kind of roof, you know, some kind of situation there where you could go all year round, now that would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, would the actual locals put up with that?
Well, that's
you
the
know,
question,
you know yourself,
isn't it?
When something happens there, the traffic is horrendous, isn't it? They have to bus them in and out.
Well, that's the thing, you see. You know, we can't have it always. If you want people to come to the Isle of Wight, you're going to have to put up with a little bit of traffic. Yeah. Well, I don't mind that.
It's like, you know, like the council, they were absolute idiots, they were, to sell that off and lose that to a Waxworks Museum at Brayden.
Yeah, the Waxworks.
That was one of the main attractions, that was.
That was one thing that, quite, you know, kind of broke. I only went in there once.
Indoors?
Right? Yeah. Yeah, but
perfect.
I was five, but now I kind of think about it, I want to go back there and remember, you know,
exactly.
the memories again of that place.
Towards the end, it was called the Brading Experience, and you had all sorts in it at the end of it.
And Waxworks, Doll Museum.
That's right.
Yeah.
What you got there now, I know you got a housing problem over there, but you got houses on it in the blinking auction site, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
How does that work?
That was an own goal. Losing that was definitely an own goal. There's no two ways about it. And
another one, Ian, over at Ventnor. Do you remember the smuggling museum? It was underground in the vaults.
No, I don't know.
Now, that was a really interesting... I know I'm going back absolutely decades now. But all I can remember is you parked in the Ventnor Gardens there, the Botanical Gardens, and you walked over towards one side of it, and you went underground.
Right.
You went down these steps, and you ended up, they had all these exhibits in there of how people smuggle things, and they had all these, like, suitcases, and showed how it was all... It's really interesting, mate. But, you know, that's another attraction that's gone.
Sadly.
Yeah, but, like you say, you're always going to have this problem of where to put it.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't put it on the south of the island, because it's the outstanding natural beauty... Yeah.
Well, if you made it in such a way that just blended in with everything, I mean, it would be great. It would be fabulous.
What about all that ground they had over at Golden Hill?
Yeah.
They could have done something with that instead of turning it into luxury homes.
Well, there you go. That's the money talks, isn't it?
All they want is to make more money by making more land for more houses.
Yeah, because all that was up there was, I remember, was Kenwood's on the industrial side of it.
Yeah.
And you had this old fort that had a few industrial units inside it.
And that's the thing. They always go for, you know, they build residential homes near residential homes, but don't forget, you know, they forget about the commercial. You know, they need to have shops. They need to have places to go. You can't just have houses upon houses upon houses and a bit of land,
no.
You know, which you can have a walk around in. You know, I'm not an old person that enjoys having a walk down through the marshes in Brayden. You know, I went around there when I was young, when I used to go fishing, used to have a laugh. Now I'm kind of older. I don't want to go out in nature. I want to, you know...
Well, like I say, all that area around St Helens, there, you'd never get anything past to go there.
Exactly.
Because of the natural side of it. But not only that, if you put it on the south side, Ian, you'd have gridlock with the roads.
Yeah, but would you have gridlock? Does it have to be that big? It's just somewhere
well,
that's an attraction.
At the end of every week, in the beginning of every weekend you would, wouldn't it? Because you'd have a new influx of, if it was something like Butlins.
Yeah, but how wonderful would that be? Well, how wonderful would that be, Keith? I don't see the negatives in that at all. I know other people will moan and groan, but if you've got people coming to the Isle of Wight and they're using the shops and so on and so forth, and they're bringing money to the Isle of Wight, that's those people that are like, oh, well, we shouldn't be doing
it's
that.
Bringing
what about
a bigger
this?
Name, isn't it?
Well, the trouble is they're the ones that's going to be moaning, and we haven't got anything on the Isle of Wight, sadly.
No, sorry, Keith.
Hang on a sec there. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Philip.
Hi, Phil. Just hang on a sec. We're sorting out.
Yeah, just finishing off me off. It's like I said, you know, going back 35 years to the 70s, I know we can't live in the past, can't keep looking back through rose-tinted spectacles, but you go to Shanklin in the evening, in the summer's night, you could not move in.
Yeah.
There was people, absolutely, you had to get off the pavement to walk round people, was that many.
And this is going back when, sorry?
Back to the 70s,
back 80s. To the 70s.
Yeah, but you've lost it all now, I'm afraid.
Well, something along the lines. I mean, it's similar things has happened to Sandown. I mean, we'll talk to Sandown about Sandown and with Phil because I know that it'll probably say more or less the same things.
Yeah.
So if we had something, you know, you had so many different things in Sandown years ago, but the sad thing is that they didn't modernise it. They didn't move with the times. It was oldie worldie.
If anything, they just shut everything down.
Well, that's apparently what's happened. I mean, Sandown used to be the be-all and end-all of
the
you know, seaside entertainment. Yeah. That was it. That was at Sandown. Yeah. Hey, should we give Phil a go, Keith?
Yeah, good to speak to you both. And
you,
hello, Phil. You hope you're all right, mate.
All right, Keith. Yeah, I'm all right.
Good stuff. And catch you all later.
Thanks for your talk, Keith. Cheers now. Hello. Bye. Phil, Sandown. We're talking about tinsel and turkey. I mean, you're in a prime position to tell us that.
Tinsel and turkey, quite frankly. We just started that Monday was start of turkey and tinsel. We'll do that in November. It's struggling. And the last few years, people are not coming to it. I mean, we're closed next. We closed on Friday for a week. And all through November, our numbers are really low. So it's struggling.
Why do you think it's struggling now, though?
I think people haven't got any money, to be honest with you.
Or it's a case of there's nothing here during those months.
Exactly.
But, yeah, there is nothing here, but main people who come to turkey and tinsel, they're old people, and they ain't going to want to go to some adventure park or whatever. So I don't think that kind of thing is not going to attract the clientele we already got. And they're all dying off. It's the Blue Rinse Brigade that come over here for these turkey and tinsel dudes, that mainly.
Well. Just in the same way that Brandon has said, well, we need to have something like this to attract youngsters. We need to find something
the elders equally
for the elders as well. Maybe the entertainment situation is something we can look at. I know, as I said before, Shanklin Theatre are doing great things. Maybe Sandown had a fantastic theatre on their pier years ago. That's unfortunately not there, and they had some massive names. You just imagine yourself being a blue rinse brigade now and going to see Jimmy Tarbuck, because that's what you used to do back in the 1970s or Brucey.
Yeah.
You know, that was right up your street, wasn't it?
Did they do that in the summer season though? I didn't live here back and I'd only been here since 2000, so I'm sure they. Shanklin Theatre probably didn't have Jimmy Tarbuck in the winter.
They probably did have, because it was a theatre that had to keep going. So they wouldn't have just shut it down for the winter.
Yeah, that's the thing, doesn't it? A lot of it just all dies in the winter. Everything does.
It's about tying it up, the loose ends. Hey, look, we've got some old biddies coming around in November. We've got them all booked. Have you got a show on? Because we can put them all your way.
Yeah.
It's all about communication giving people what they
want. As an island, obviously we've got a very small community. You know, it just takes a quick car ride over to somewhere or a quick phone call. The island should work more as like a group, if you know what I'm saying. You know, the council should work together. You know, if Brading hasn't got any commercial or attracting attractions, you know, they should place some places there. You know, Newport's got lots of work areas. You know, there's a big old motorway that goes to the hospital. We all need to kind of connect up and link. And if we did have a place as Butlins, you know. Where could that be placed to get the most attraction to, bring people through Brading Town or through past, obviously, your way with the turkeys and the tinsel, you've got to have like that highway lane of, can I stop off here to get this? Should I stop off there to get that? And that's how money will flow in, It's just
a river. I'll tell you what I like to see in Sandown. We've got a great big area with the Bowton Lake, ex-Bowton Lake. We're down with the dinosaur island. So loads of waste ground. Let's have some, you want about a... some indoor facility. Let's have something down there, where something that can be used as a concert venue and any other activities, and rather than just having a wasteland, let's have something there, a cinema or something would be good.
Oh, is that beside by the zoo there, by the the old boating yard that isn't used at all?
It's just such a shame, it just looks such a mess. That's what I would like to see, a decent concert venue on the Isle of Wight, where you can get maybe attract some of the bigger bands, not just like what I like, but obviously for the youngsters and that. Quite frankly, I'm nothing against the Ride Pavilion, what do you call it, the Ride Ice Skating Rink. We went to see Jules Holland there years ago, so I'd never, ever go to anything in there again. It's just skank.
Yeah, the Ride cinema is quite...
Hang on a sec, why won't you go there again?
Because it's scruffy, there's no decency. Lynn doesn't like... I was annoyed because Lynn doesn't like to stand up. I booked a ticket, and he said, unreserved seating, so we're fine. So he said, just get out there early if you want. So we did. And I got there nice and early with Lynn. We got in early, and all the seating that was there all had signs saying reserved on it, even though it's allegedly unreserved seating. And a lot of it was corporate sponsorship booked up all the seating. It just annoyed me that you couldn't go there and get a seat. I mean, it don't bother me standing up, but Lynn, it does.
Mm.
And I thought, right, next time Jules Holland comes, I might have to get on the ferry and go to Ports of Guildhall.
Yeah, well, you've explained yourself, understand it. Going back to the Sandown thing, I did have the idea a little while ago that Boating Lake, during the winter months especially, you know, October, November, December, possibly January, February, why not make an outdoor ice rink? And during the summer months, you laugh there, but you just imagine... Between now and Christmas, you'll be seeing lots of TV programmes, especially Children in Need, where they'll go live to somewhere and they've got like an outdoor skating park or whatever. Why can't we have something?
Yes.
You know, why can't we have something?
Not expand that, Ian? Why not have, like they do in London, Winter Wonderland? You could have your ice rink and you could have some sort of attraction and design whatever they have in Winter Wonderland.
Absolutely.
Have a fair there as well, because plenty of ground.
And then during the summer months, you turn it back into an area where you can have, some kind of staging, where you can have all sorts of bands playing at various different times of the day during the summer months, and so on. You could have brass bands, you could have musical, bands, five-piece bands, all sorts of things going on there. And it will become like a centre place of, where people will come for their entertainment. You could have, stand-up comics there doing an outdoor... I mean, how great would that be to just be able to take a picnic along and just witness some music, some comedy? Somebody wants to come on and put a show.
They've got that giant slanted hill, haven't they, going down towards the boatyard. You could have the stage facing that way and just have people sat there laying down, having a picnic, having a listen to some music.
I think that is a good idea, Ian. I quite like that, as long as we can have a hard rock night.
Well, see, it should be open. You should be able to have everything.
Yep.
You know, that's what's appealing about it. You've got an area, a massive, massive area where you can say, right, okay, in the winter months it's going to be this. In the summer months we are going to have, just these amazing events. Some nights it'll be music, live, rock music, if you like. Some nights it'll be someone... There's so many different plays that you can see, and you go to these small places. We went to something at Barton Manor about 10, 15 years ago, and it was like an outdoor play, and it's in a little tiny little small place. Wouldn't it be great if you could chuck that there and have thousands of people watching it instead of 25?
Yeah,
I think that is a good idea, but it does come down to money for me, like particularly people on the island going to use facilities like that. A lot of people on minimum wage, and people are struggling. We have to watch what we're going to, and but yeah, of course it's good, but you have to do something.
Well, say you've got to do something. How refreshing it is that you ask somebody what they want them to do as an MP, and he didn't come up with nothing. He came up with something. It'd be interesting if we put that to whoever's going to be the MP.
Who said that?
It was Brandon earlier on.
Who did he speak to?
He didn't speak to anybody. My point is this. We've asked him why he doesn't want to vote, because they don't do this, this and this, and this is what I would like them to do.
Yeah.
It wasn't a case of, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. No, he actually can't. Hey, look, this is what you can do for me. Thank you.
I think that's a good. That's good. That's positive. End of the day, the question is, can they actually do it? Because you need to collectively work together with other guys to make it happen.
Absolutely, and I think the people of Sandown need to meet the other people halfway. It's unfortunately, I think Sandown have been on their knees for a while, and maybe it's time that they got off their knees and said, right, okay, this is what we want, this is what we're willing to do. Can somebody meet us halfway?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Keith hit the nail on the head earlier. Sandown has just suffered because from greedy people over the years. I mean, obviously, I've worked in the hotel since 2002, quite a while now, and I know people who've worked in the hotels years. And if you go back to the 60s and 70s, people used to flock here, and the owners at the time got greedy. They got very rich because people would just come. And from what I've heard tales of people years ago, if somebody complained, they get thrown out of the hotel because they get somebody else in them. But they got greedy, they got rich, they didn't spend the money keeping the properties up to date and modernising, and just got very rich, so they milked it basically, and now it's in a state, everywhere's in a state, and it seems that you can do about it, because you need so much money now.
I can't disagree with anything you just said, actually. Yeah. Hey, Phil, anything else you want to say?
No, not really.
Okay, thanks for your call. Oh, hang on, just before, I've got a question for you. I've got a young man on the show today who's 18 years old. He can vote at the next general election, but he says he's not going to because he doesn't trust any of them. Is he right or wrong not to vote?
I would say wrong. It is hard, but there is one thing that they tell you. You don't have to vote for the big three. Connolly and Labb are all the same. I won't vote for them, but... you can vote for anybody, but vote for them, as I would say. I won't tell them who to vote for, because that's not my place, but that sort of thing. Don't vote for the big three, vote for somebody else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for your phone call.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Phil. Right. Cheers, bye. Okay, so let's just read out some of the messages that we've had. We put this on Facebook earlier on. I've got to be honest with you, I'm not horrified that you don't feel like you want to vote. I'm not horrified at all.
No, I kind of... you just said, I would rather vote for someone who's not been in the big chair, the big three, Conservative and Labour, They're, in my opinion, they've done the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. It's been going for that for about... Well, since it started, it's always been them, in my opinion. I've always heard them. So I would like to see someone else new, someone different, someone upbeat, someone who's a bit, let's try this, let's do this, let's try that, I'm not going for Conservative or Labour. I know that for a fact. I would not.
Do you know what? It's I've got to be careful how I choose my words here, but it's refreshing to hear you talk in the way that you are, being 18. I'm not saying that what you're saying is absolutely bang on with the Tories and the Labour and so on and so forth. And I'm not trying to sway anybody, although I'm not big on either. But it is refreshing to hear. It really is. Alan though says you're wrong. Men and women died fighting for this right, so maybe you should vote. What would you say to that?
I respect the fact that people have obviously fought, and the suffragettes and the women who have obviously they've fought for their vote. I'm not saying I'm a woman, obviously, but I understand that the vote is a very big thing to people. But if this vote means something to someone out there, which it obviously does to loads of people, to thousands and millions, I just don't think I should blindly pick something that I don't know anything about. It seems all they say is the same thing. I respect that people have obviously fought and. Harshly and,
Okay, well, look, Ali says, totally agree with Alan, we should all use our vote, but this young man is justified in feeling mistrust at all our present candidates. Sandy says, it's his choice. Men and women didn't die for us to vote, they died fighting for our freedom. Freedom to choose, not be dictated to and told what to do by others.
That's my point. The feeling of picking someone who's then going to be in power to have control, which is a very big word. People that have power and control, for example, the Romans used to go absolutely bonkers mental because they had so much power. They could do whatever they wanted. I'm not saying obviously it's the same with government because obviously they have rules, they have, legacy in that, but it's just, I don't want to vote for something that I don't fully trust and believe in, you know.
Okay. Well,
you get the party members that obviously are like, they'll fight for Conservative because it's the best. They have the best ideals. But, you know, I don't have a party that I'm kind of stuck with, you know.
Okay, well, look, Sandy also goes on to say, before you rudely interrupted me...
I apologise.
ironic, if they had voted for one of our candidates today, they wouldn't have been able to protest and be counted in the first place. It would have been outlawed. They'd be blamed for causing a public nuisance, classed as terrorists, blasted with water and cannons, or water cannons, and given an ASBO. It's a funny world we live in. That's from Sandy. He's not messaged me in a while, so it's nice to know you're still out there, Sandy. I thought somebody had done you in. it's 23 minutes away from 1 o'clock. So, I mean, when you say you're not going to vote at this moment in time, are you, you know, once we've had this conversation, we've done this phone and we've got 22 minutes left, and are you then going to look into, take the time and the trouble to look into and maybe think, maybe I should vote? Maybe it's, or you... You know, it's down to you. I'm not going to put words in your head. Yeah, this is your choice.
Yeah, I think yeah. And when it comes more closer to the date, you know, and I kind of get the ideals of right. Okay, I need to. I want to vote now. I've got an idea. I'd say yeah. I will research and have a look into party leaders and obviously their ideals and what they're going to. And I'm going to quote change. You know, the whole thing that went on with Obama, the you know, president of America, he was very, oh, I'm going to change this, I'll pull out our troops, I'm going to do this and do that. He didn't change. He didn't do anything.
And that's probably the reason why they've had another little vote in America and it doesn't look very good.
There you go.
I feel
the same with what's happened over there here. You know, they say they're going to do this, they're going to do that. I don't see it happening.
Okay, well, I think, you know, the one thing that we said off air, change to...
Requires a step back, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know, but change is, like you say, it's change, it's not the same old, same old.
Yeah.
And we do need to change, and we need more honesty, we need more transparency, we perhaps need not so many cutbacks for a start.
Yeah.
And the cutbacks have been too deep. They need to be fairer cutbacks and in the right place. We also, I mean, I'm a great believer in, the sad thing is if you look at, the situation of politics you've got now, you've got an apple tree that's got rotten apples.
Yeah.
And you may have to, you know, chop the tree down and regrow it. Or treat it, and that means take all the colours out of it. You may have to take, you know, Conservatives, Labour,
Lib Dems. That's what I mean with the whole let's get something new going on.
Strip it all back.
Yeah.
But then, you know, change the colours. Maybe be independent. All areas are independent, but then some people say, well, you never ever get anything done. But we're not getting much done now.
Yeah.
And it's not whatever we are getting done. I don't think it's that wonderful out there. But getting back to my point is, and I've said this before, and I've said it on air, I've said it to you, I think the sad thing is that, you know, because of the colours, that the main colours have acted in such a, I think, an unprofessional way for many years, i.e. they don't listen, i.e. they go and cook the books. And you know, now they're arguing amongst themselves. There's so much stuff going on, and I say, right, okay, well, let's look at UKIP. I'm not a fan of UKIP, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
But one day we're going to wake up and we may have them as the main power or part of the main power, and then we'll all be saying, how bad must it have been for the proper politicians, because we call them proper politicians, how bad did you let it get? This is your fault. Not UKIP, not the people that voted you in. This is your fault because you weren't doing the job.
You
were so bad we had to vote these idiots in. And that's where I think we're heading, and I think that is going to be a massive step back, 4 years of total misery, but it may just fix Britain in the long term.
Yeah.
Vix Lowthian, who is the Green candidate, she was in just a couple of weeks ago. Nice lady, very honest, very forthright. If you don't vote, you can't bet people who have different values to you will vote on your behalf. Not voting achieves nothing. Better still, if you don't trust any of them, stand yourself.
Very true. Independence is quite a powerful thing since it's been given to us. You know, we have our freedom, we have our independence. It's just, Very true. Good words.
Okay, that's Vix Lalvian, and she is the lady that is standing for the Green Party at next year's general
election. I've heard of Green
Party.
They're very, you know, they're very true to their, well, true to their word. I've heard that they're quite, you know, they believe in a cause and they go for that cause.
I think she could pick up a lot of votes this time around. I think she's saying all the right things.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back with more. If you want to give us a call, you can, 240666. We've got loads of messages to read out as well.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. You can download all the movies, music and photos you like with no usage caps at breakneck speeds. Telephone them on 01983 240 240.
My name's Tony Bray. Several years ago, I read Maggie Curry's book, What You Believe Creates Your Reality. It was a turning point for me, and since then, I've achieved things I thought I would never be able to achieve. I've lost several stone in weight. I've managed to swim across the Solent twice. I've raised £16,000 for motor neuron disease. I've become the chairman of the association on the Isle of Wight, and all this started by just reading Maggie's book. I recommend you do so, and I recommend you speak to Maggie, because she will make a positive difference to your life. I totally guarantee it.
Contact me today on 01983 754 666 or email hello at maggiecurry.co.uk and let's start your life transformation.
Vectis Radio are proud to announce our 4Ps radio course. Presentation, promotion, production and podcasting. Are you the next Chris Moyles or Scott Mills? The 4Ps radio course is open to 11 to 18 year olds completely free of charge. The course is designed to introduce you to the basic and essential skills relating to radio presentation, promotion, production and podcasting. Hence the 4Ps. To find out more, email me, ian.mac@vectisradio.com. And you could be the next big noise in radio.
If you're aged 16 to 18 and have just finished full-time education or concerned that you do not have the qualifications or experience required to have a successful career, let CLC help you with one of our traineeship programmes. Are you looking to kickstart your dream career, gain valuable work experience, maths and English qualifications, employability skills and the potential chance into an apprenticeship that is suited to you? Did we forget to mention the free bus travel, £100 cash and your very own mini iPad? Call CLC now on 01983 533 993 or visit the website www.carelearningcentre.co.uk. Your future starts today.
Where do you go for a wide range of animal feeds, accessories and lots, lots more? Sandown Pet Store are the island's premier store for all your pets' needs. We are open 6 days a week on St John's Road, Sandown. Telephone 01983 407788 and speak to Paul or Wendy for a friendly and reliable service.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. It's not only super fast, it's super unlimited too. Telephone them on 01983 240 240.
Now, we have two young men from Brading. So we've got half the population of Brading in this very studio. Brandon's in, and we've just been joined by Kieran Thompson as well.
Hello.
Both with, like, beards as well. So, you know, the Beardy Brading. Oh,
yeah. Beardy, yeah. Brading.
Beardy Brading. So, yeah. We're going to come to you guys in a mo, but we've got another call. Hi, who's this?
How you doing, Ian? It's Jay.
Hello, Jay. I was going to read out your post just now, but I thought, well, maybe he'll phone and do it himself.
A bit long. hello, Brandon.
Hello.
I just think it's a shocking indictment of the state of things that a bright, lucid, intelligent young man such as Brandon doesn't actually feel that it's worth voting in his own country for you know, to put in people of power that are gonna, you know, implement policies that affect everybody's lives, including his own. I think it's shocking that's what we've come to.
Yeah, I agree.
I've got a couple of friends that are pretty much on the same level as me. That's why we're good friends, you know. We all kind of think alike. I'd say that they're pretty much as well, just all the same. They don't feel there's a necessary point to vote. I mean, obviously voting is a good thing and it brings along policies and it gives people change. But me and them just feel change isn't going to change, if you know what I'm saying.
I completely agree with you.
You know, you can say, we're going to do this and it's going to change all of this. They say that.
Well, there's a thing with this. It's difficult. There's a thing with this they thing, them and us, because they are us. You know, and if we keep capitulating to a they being in control, then that kind of disempowers your ability to participate. Do you know what I mean? You're already offloading control already to somebody else. You're demeaning your own input. You know, I know the reason why it's so, for me anyway, Brandon, the reason why it's so off-putting politics to engage with in the first place is because it's so dressed up in doublespeak and gibberish and nonsense and blah, blah, blah.
They don't get to the point that they're trying to make. They layer it.
Yeah, they are getting to a point, but it's couched in a code that other sort of politicos understand and the general public don't. And that in itself speaks volumes, you know. It's the same... It's the same with many things. Economics, it's all wrapped up in gibberish. The law, a lot of it's wrapped up in legalese and gibberish. I mean, everything should be intelligible for everybody to partake in. And I don't blame you one tiny bit that, you know, you feel completely disenfranchised for wanting to partake in it. But having said that, I do think that you should, because you are interested in politics. I mean, just on your conversation with Ian, I was listening to you. And you're talking about tourism. Within that, you're talking about planning. You're talking about logistics, how to get it, you know, the traffic and whatnot, entertainment, the infrastructure. All of that, Brandon, is politics. So you are interested in it. I think you just feel apathetic to engaging with this system that's currently not representing you.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. No, I agree with that, yeah. It's just I don't feel like I'm part of the puzzle piece, if you know what I'm saying.
Exactly, yeah.
I feel like if I add my vote, it's like putting a little tick on a tally, and there's a huge tally with loads of people all adding these ticks, and it all adds up to just one point, basically, and that one point picks one person. I don't feel like my vote will change the world. My vote won't add anything.
What changes, and another word you were using was difference. You know, what changes or differences would you, as an 18-year-old, you know, and you're going to be leading the guard soon, believe it or not, you are.
Yeah.
What differences would you like made, or changes made, or input?
In my opinion, change doesn't have to happen to me or to my generation, because what I really focus on is the younger generation that will be walking in, not my footsteps, but near enough my path, you know. I want to have more for the generations that will be coming along, because...
Well, this is a funny situation, because me at 42, I'm talking to you in that respect right now, you know, and I wished my forefathers had done the same with me. And this is the whole problem. All throughout history, the majority of the working classes, or the lower echelons in society, let's say, either haven't been able to engage politically or have had a very limited input.
Yeah.
And the difference is there are changes happening all around us all the time now. I mean, everything changes constantly. The problem with human systems is we don't change enough. You know, we tend to stay static and think that everything's going to be okay. But so, for instance, how do you feel as an 18-year-old lad about things like climate change, for instance, which will affect, it does affect politics directly and indirectly. You know, how do you feel about that, especially for generations to come?
I'd say climate change, I would say that I know that it, you know, it, or you could say extremifies the weather. It kind of just, I don't know, the hotter the, you know, the summer, the colder the winter. As a young person, I wouldn't say the winter really affects me but I know it affects bills. I know that it affects electricity. It will affect me when I'm older, and I'm, you know, I'm in my home more. I'm more focused on my kids or my family. Yeah, uh-huh. I can understand how bills, it would destroy me.
Uh-huh.
For bill wise. I can understand that it would be a pain.
So climate change will affect things. It'll affect, you know, the price of food.
Yeah.
It'll affect the price of water if
fuel.
They're in centralized systems.
Yeah.
Yeah, it affects the price of heating. You know, we've already got it now. Old people and younger folk now are choosing whether they have to heat or eat is the little slogan that goes. So,
heat and eat.
Heat or eat. Some are having to face that choice. You know, have I got enough money to heat my house or... do I cut down on what I'm eating so I can balance the two, you know, if we get harsh winters and
Jeez.
Things like that. So it matters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really matters.
Yeah.
So, and I think the problem is you've been disengaged completely, bored, stiff of it, and basically all we really see is it's all economics, isn't it? It's all about money, and at the minute it's gone completely out of kilter, and it's all about greed at the top end. And I think that puts people off from wanting to engage it. I don't know, but I hope you do want to find out more.
I do want to find out more about the change, what people are going to say they're going to do, and I want to kind of get down to the roots of it and listen.
Well, this is the thing, Brendan. Form things with your friends. Get talking with your friends and your family and make them do it. You know, start having things where when people come up with a manifesto, to a degree, I know things, there's a bit of fluctuations in things because, as I say, we have to adapt all the time. But to a degree, let's have a system where that manifesto is a legally binding document. You know, so you can't just lie to the electorate just to get in and then do a U-turn on your policies. No, you can't do that. You're out the door. Do you know what I mean?
Almost like a contract. You say you're going to change.
Well, everything is. It's a contract. Everything's a contract. Predominantly, society works on a contract of trust, and that trust has been broken hugely in recent years. And, you know, look for things like that. You know, make them do it or make ourselves do it, you know.
It's a good point to make. Hey, look, we're going to have to leave it there, but thanks for your call, Jay.
Cheers.
Yeah, thanks, Jay.
Hey, just before you go, how refreshing on a scale... He's gone. How refreshing is on a scale of 1 to 10 is to hear, you know, 18-year-old chap like yourself talking the way that you are. I think, I bet by having this phone in, by having this discussion, you will then go out and find out a little bit more.
Yeah,
they keep saying, oh, how do we engage with the young? Talk to them.
Mm. Yeah.
Talk to them like they're not an idiot.
Yeah.
For a start... You're 23 now.
I'm 23.
But you voted for the first time last election.
I voted 2010, yeah. I came back from university because I thought I was meant to be able to vote there. I wasn't actually signed to the island, so I actually made the trip in the late afternoon, 5 odd hours to come down and to go to Braydon Town Hall and vote. So I made that effort because I actually believed I had the chance and I had the opportunity, and it was the first time I could vote in a general election. I think I could have done in the Europeans before, but it was just an opportunity to do so, and I believed in a particular party's manifesto as well.
Okay. Do you feel without... I know you're quite... You want to keep it private,
mm-hmm.
Which is fine, I respect that, but do you feel like that party have nationally... Obviously, they didn't get in locally, but that party have... did they let you down?
Yeah. Let me down. No, actually. I believe the party actually improved to quite a good extent. I think there are parts which didn't come as true as they should have done. And I think that they've also got a different leader now, which helps, which probably whittles down your 3-1 of who I vote for. I vote Labour, I'll say it now. I believe it's good that they've got a different... Yes. there's people at windows with pitchforks and flaming torches. I can't say that on this time. No, I believe it's improved now, especially given the other choices we had. Green were not a viable choice in 2010 as they are now in 2014. The Lib Dems... I know it because being a student at the time, a lot of my student friends voted them on the tuition fees promise, which couldn't have gone more... the other way, really. Instead of getting rid of tuition fees, they tripled them. And now a lot of my uni friends voted for them on that basis, but I didn't feel that's particularly right. And also tactical voting on the island, if you don't want the Tories in, it seems like you have to vote Lib Dem just to take votes away from the Tories. This year maybe that'll be UKIP maybe, but I felt it was the right thing to do to vote because it was something that I enjoy politics. If you can enjoy politics, I enjoy reading about politics.
Right.
And it's something I believed in. So, yeah, no, I think I did the right thing.
So you are now going to, obviously, you know, you will be voting next year as
mm-hmm.
well.
Yep.
I mean, do you think it's vital that we vote as youngsters?
I think if, as long as you know what you're going for, I don't blame you for not wanting to.
Yeah.
And I think there's, of recent, this whole Russell Brand revolution of, I don't think he's approached it the right way. I think the apathy towards not voting is there, but I don't think he's doing it the right way. I don't think he's saying the right thing not to. I think I can actually understand the feeling why you wouldn't want to, but I think it is important to.
See, I agree with what you just said there. I mean, I love Russell Brand to bits, and I think there's an awful lot of what he says is absolutely bang on. But I think that the majority, I think there's two problems with Russell's point, and that is a lot of it is the media, a lot of it is controlled by the politicians and so on and so forth. And I think there are two slightly different problems, or there's two big problems. There's the government side of things, there's the politician side of things, and then there's the media thing. And I know it does come together, but I think by attacking both, I think it kind of confuses the issue.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the vital thing is, if you don't vote, you can't have a say. And you can't, but having said that, I know people that at last election they'll say, yeah, we should be voting, but they never did. You know, and there's an awful lot of people that don't vote, and maybe they'll be telling you that you should do. It's your duty to vote.
I mean, the turnout is what, a third of people vote nowadays? Is that the turnout?
It's not very good, is it?
It's not good at all.
But having said that,
for people who actually are intending to make a change anyway,
Scottish independence, 97% of Scots voted. Put us to shame, rest of the country to shame, because when it comes down to it, they can't be bothered.
Scots have pride, don't they? They have a lot of pride. They've gone through a lot, you know, being on the top of our country. But you kind of look at it, you know, they always get bombarded by bad weather, so I can kind of understand why they're like, we don't have bad British weather, we've got Scots weather. We have the weather.
All right, so what I want to say is I know that there are a couple of prospective MPs listening to this. I know that you're listening, and those people, the ones that aren't, the message is quite simple from us here at Vectis Radio, and from you too. Hey, if you want young people to engage in politics, come and have a chat. Talk to them.
The one I wish luck to this year, I think, will be, is it Vix Lowtham for the Green Party? Vix, I wish her a lot of luck, because I think she's going to have quite a good year next year. I don't think it'll be enough, but I think she'll have quite a good year, and it could do her some favours. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a big story next year.
See, the criticism would be, oh, youngsters, they don't engage themselves. And no, it's the other way around as well.
Yeah.
You know, they need to come and speak to you. You're not an idiot. No. And you're not going to be fobbed off with anything either.
No.
So, you know, basically it's a case of, okay, there's a lot of votes up for grabs here, and there's an awful lot of people that don't think like they're going to vote.
But a lot of them are young people.
So go and talk to them.
Yeah.
Go and talk to them. Make them engage in
the one out of three, is obviously, you said, probably the two out of three are young people or adults that obviously are either too busy to care, or the young people are just too, what is this? I, you know, I don't know much about voting. You know, I don't even know what the paper looks like. You know, I don't know. How do you vote? Do you just tick boxes, or
you cross a box? Last year, I think, didn't we have an election this year? And you walk in and the paper was about as tall as me. It was ridiculous. You'd fold it out.
There you go.
Now, origami.
Yeah.
That's what you've got to be an expert in. Hey, look, has this helped?
Yeah, it has helped a lot.
Fantastic.
Definitely.
That's what we wanted to do. It's 1 o'clock. We're going to change places.
Yep.
Kieran's up doing the afternoon show. Thank you, gents. Thanks for all your calls and your messages, too.